Good morning, delegates. I ask all delegations to please take their seats. It is 10 a.m. 1000 hours, which is the posted beginning time for our session, and we would like to start on time. We will start on time this week. So, thank you, delegates. I will call the session to order, this 33rd session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, with a gentle tap. We will begin the morning's work with some welcoming remarks from our partner organizations, WHO and FAO. But first, I would ask the Secretariat to explain the functioning of the microphones, the sound system, and the audio recording procedures. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and welcome to all delegates to Geneva. We would like to inform you that there will be audio recording of the session. As regards the operation of the microphone and time for speaking, first of all, the floor is on channel zero, then it goes in the order English one, French two, Spanish three, Arabic 4 and Chinese 5, and there are interpretation in all the languages of the Commission. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We will first hear from the representative from WHO, represented this morning by Jörn Schlundt.
Good morning, everyone. Madam Chair, distinguished delegates, FAO, WHO officials, and other distinguished guests, on behalf of the World Health Organization and the Director General, I'm honored to join colleagues from FAO in welcoming you to the 33rd session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Thank you all for taking valuable time out of your busy schedules to attend this meeting. The world is facing increasingly complex food challenges associated with the globalization of the food trade, as well as other events such as climate change and the global financial crisis. Given this context, the significance and impact of the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission is recognized more than ever before. Recently, the 63rd World Health Assembly, which is the top governing body of WHO, held in this May, unanimously adopted a new resolution on advancing food safety initiatives. The support from member states and international organizations was strong, sending a signal that food safety and nutrition are serious public health issues that should be dealt with efficiently by WHO. The resolution raises a number of important points, including a request to WHO to continue to provide global leadership by providing technical assistance and tools for scientific estimates of the risks and burden of diseases associated with food. Member states also noted the need for updated, comprehensive, and internationally agreed-upon standards and agreements for risk assessments and scientific guidance on how to improve food safety. The resolution acknowledged the critical role of the Codex in harmonizing international food standards and ensuring their implementation. It asked WHO to strengthen its support for activities promoting the health and nutritional well-being of consumers conducted by the joint expert bodies of FAO and WHO and the Codex. WHO strongly supports the establishment of international food standards, especially when they are focused towards decreasing food-related public health risks and will work even closer with FAO to attain these goals. In addition, the resolution speaks clearly to the need for a renewed focus on the issues in food that constitute real human health risks. We still do not have a clear picture in any country of the real disease burden caused by unsafe food. WHO will therefore in the coming years focus major efforts towards estimating this global burden of foodborne disease. And hopefully Codex will then be able to try to deal more efficiently with the issues causing real risks, including millions of deaths each year. Finally, I want to note the resolution also encourages the participation of developing countries in Codex work. This increased participation is essential for focusing on the real problems and for improving the standards themselves and is therefore strongly supported by WHO. Madam Chair, certain events have heightened consumer concerns about the safety of their food and also had negative effects on trade. Together with FAO, WHO has increased its effort to proactively respond to such health risks. For example, the International Food Safety Authorities Network, or InfoSan, regularly disseminates information on emerging food safety issues. The emergency component of InfoSan has expanded its capacities to collect, evaluate, and assess information on food safety events across the globe. The past year has seen InfoSan disseminate information on several urgent food-related health threats of international significance. For example, in late 2008, food contaminated with melamine affected approximately 300,000 children in China, resulting in at least 6 confirmed deaths. With key partners, WHO organized an expert meeting in December 2008 to provide a scientific assessment of the human health implications of melamine contamination. This resulted in limits for melamine in food and feed now being established at this meeting by Codex. InfoSan thus plays a crucial role in providing updated information to food safety authorities in member states and even to Codex. Distinguished delegates, the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission is more important than ever. And as always, it should be thoroughly based in sound scientific advice. For more than 50 years, FAO and WHO have provided sound scientific advice on matters related to the safety of food. WHO is fully committed to strengthening this work, but also to strengthen the health actions needed to serve member states and particularly the developing countries. I want to note that the Codex Trust Fund also plays an important role in facilitating the participation of developing countries and those with economies in transition in the work of Codex. The participation of these countries has improved notably during the last few years, and we need to continue and expand this effort so these countries can apply Codex standards and strengthen their national food safety systems. With that, I would like to thank you once again on behalf of the Director General of WHO, Dr. Margaret Chan, to wish you all a fruitful meeting and a pleasant stay in the heat in Geneva. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Schlund. We will next hear from the representative of FAO, Mr. Ezzedine Boutrieff. Mr. Boutrieff, please.
Madame la Présidente.
Dear Madam Chairperson of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, Vice Chairs, ladies and gentlemen, the delegates, dear colleagues of the World Health Organization and the FAO, first and foremost, I would like to thank Jürgen Schlund for his kind words of welcome. I would also like to extend to you on behalf of the Director General of the FAO a very warm welcome to this 33rd session of the Commission of the Codex Alimentarius. This session is being held at a watershed time for the FAO ever since last year and following the independent external assessment, the FAO has embarked upon far-reaching reforms, the purpose of which is to make our organization more efficient in its actions, more relevant in the missions it fulfills, and especially more responsible when it comes to facing its commitments, thanks mainly to the setting up of a results-based management system. This reform, furthermore, has made it possible for our governing bodies to define a set of strategic objectives which our organization has committed itself to reaching in the upcoming years. One of these strategic objectives, Strategic Objective D, in fact, is entitled as follows, and I quote, improvement of the quality and safety of food at all stages of the food chain, end of quote. This strategic objective covers all of the activities of the FAO when it comes to food safety and security, and also those pertaining to the Codex. Roughly 3 weeks ago, the COAG, which is the technical committee which keeps a close watch on the FAO programs in the area of production, transformation, distribution, and consumption of food products, held its 22nd session in Rome, and at that time it reviewed the various programs of the FAO pertaining to this sector, and it discussed a number of priorities when it comes to these strategic objectives. I'm happy to tell you today that the member countries unanimously decided to support Strategic Objective D, and also in the high priority which they attribute to the Codex Alimentarius and also the various related activities as well. They underlined the importance of scientific opinions that are provided by the FAO and the WHO, and also capacity building in developing countries. This makes it possible for them to make more active participation in the work of the Codex, and also for the application of the Codex Alimentarius at the worldwide level. This is a very encouraging sign, as showing that there is a strong commitment, a lasting commitment, of our various governing bodies in favor of the Codex and its related activities. The Secretariat of the Codex, which is integrated administratively into the structure of the FAO, has also taken active part in the planning process of the program, and also in the area of the preparation of our budget for 2010-2011. I'm very happy to be able to tell you that notwithstanding a policy of rigor and austerity, and also a number of orders that have been given to further economic efficiency, and these being quite drastic, we have made it possible to save the Codex budget from any reductions. In fact, it has been increased somewhat. More information will be provided on that when we deal with the item pertaining to the budget. So it's a great source of satisfaction for us to see that this joint program, which is more than 50 years old now, is still receiving the backing and commitment of the majority of our member countries. Nobody would deny that the Codex is a program which generates a number of results that all the member countries also hail, and I'm sure that there will be a number of activities will be improved now. Some new activities have been approved thanks to a fast track procedure, but at the same time, the essential character of the process of drafting Codex standards have been protected. This means participation and openness of all those concerned. These are assets that we must at all cost protect and keep, so that the Codex standards will always be considered of scientific rigor, as they have been in the past. Ever since the assessment was made in 2002, a lot has been done in order to make Codex even more relevant, more productive, more far-reaching, more of a visionary activity, and of course more widely respected as well. Your participation and your participation now is record participation, record numbers, is a sign of the interest you place in this organization. I'd like to thank you for that. Can we say that everything has been done, that we're totally satisfied with the current state of play? No, we're far from that, because there's still many areas where there is room for improvement. This improvement is necessary. The Safety standards for food and the mechanisms to provide for that concern a growing number of public and private entities. They all wish to underscore the relevance of their activities and the tools and instruments that they have as well. Codex must take note of their presence, their existence, and must embark upon a policy of consultation and cooperation so that each and every one of these parties can play its role fully, and in this way make sure that the consumer is properly protected and make sure that there are loyal practices in the area of food trade, food industry. I don't want to take too much time away from the agenda. We have a very full agenda, but I would like nonetheless to make reference to a number of items which are very important. First of all, we have seen with great interest that there will be a discussion today or tomorrow on the proposal to provide the Codex with a business plan. And it is our wish that this discussion will give rise to a tangible result. The work carried out by the Secretariat to prepare the working program and budget for 2010-2011, and this in accordance with a new standard adopted by the FAO, is a step in the right direction. And so the next step is to make sure that Codex can have a fully fledged business plan which is in keeping with its strategic objectives and will make sure will provide the necessary resources so that all these activities can be brought to fruition. The question of standards, which has been retained at stage 8 for a number of years now, is a delicate one, that goes without saying. But this is something that we must all work hard on in order to find a judicious solution. Now I have the question of nutrition as well. Nutrition has taken on growing importance in recent years, and this for a number of reasons. There is growing interest on the part of the consumer to make sure that they have healthy, quality food to eat. And furthermore, there is the concern felt by governments when it comes to a number of different diseases, non-transmissible diseases. That's the reason why the FAO and the WHO have decided to provide a new vigor to their joint committee of experts. And this will answer the various directives that are already in force, the FAO and WHO, but also when it comes to dealing with scientific opinions as well. An information session organized by WHO is slated for Friday morning. And finally, the question of animal fodder, animal feed. It's clear that Codex needs to continue developing standards and directives in this field as well in order to comply with a widely recognized requirement. We'll have to find a solution. Find a solution, as I said, to make it possible to rise to this challenge. In the last 6 years, the Trust Fund has made it possible to help hundreds of delegates hailing from developing countries so that they can come and take part in the Codex meetings. Jointly, together with the FAO and WHO, has also provided for training courses as well, and internships for people hailing from developing countries. The success of the Trust Fund has been overwhelming. I'd like to thank all of those donors who are generously nurture this fund. I would also like to thank our colleagues from the WHO for this Herculean task they've carried out. Now we're in the midterm, and you are about to examine an assessment report on the Trust Fund. This report will be very important when it comes to the decisions that are going to be made in the future, making it possible to strengthen the impact of the Trust Fund and also to see that it can be used more widely by beneficiary countries. You will also find an information document pertaining to the assessment of the participation of developing countries in the work of Codex. This assessment was mandated by FAO. So you can see that our agenda is a very busy one, and I'm sure that you also know a lot about the activities that are being carried out on the fringes as well. We'll be looking at a number of scientific opinions in the area of food safety, GIFSA, MPRESS, and food safety, set up in recent years, and then also there'll be a seminar on private standards as well. I urge you to take part therein. So in conclusion, Madam Chair, I would like to reaffirm the strong commitment of the FAO in order to make sure that the Commission can work in the proper conditions to fulfill its role, to provide for the safety of consumers and make sure that they're also that the trade in the food products unfolds in proper conditions. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Boutrieff. I also have a few very short remarks to share with you. First, greetings to all of you and welcome to Geneva for this 33rd session of the Commission. As has been noted by both previous speakers, we have a very full agenda this year. Our meeting is, in fact, one day shorter than it was last year, so we shall have to manage our time carefully. Although we have planned for the possibility of night sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday, I am sure that you would all prefer not to have them. After all, there are World Cup semifinal matches on both of those evenings. To help us better manage our time, we, the vice chairs and I, are committed to improve our time management. We heard clearly from many of you who completed the post-commission evaluation form last year that we needed to be more punctual. We will do our best to improve. Further towards time management, as we did last year, we request that all interventions be limited to 2 minutes, and again, we will use the time clock. The orange light signals that your 2 minutes are quickly coming to an end. The red light signals that you have reached your limit. Also, as a general rule, we will try to limit discussion to 2 rounds of debate before attempting to summarize. Finally, as we get ready to start our work this week, I want us all to think about why we are here. We are here to protect the health of consumers and to ensure fair practices in food trade. We are not here for academic debate. We are here to deal with real-life issues, and we do so as part of the most open, inclusive, transparent, and democratic food safety standard-setting body in the world. CODEX is a global forum for the best science and risk assessment available to food safety issues of immediate importance to the world's consumers. CODEX is the only international standard-setting forum that is able to bring together scientists, technical experts, government regulators, international consumer representatives, and industry organizations. CODEX is also a scientific organization that is learning to live and work in a political world. And this reality, perhaps paradoxically, can bring even greater strength to CODEX. CODEX is all about science. We will always agree that there must be a strong scientific basis for our work. But we must also always remember CODEX is about people and about helping people. The CODEX evaluation that was completed in 2002 documented that CODEX's members, you, highly value the organization for the standards it produces and for the process by which CODEX produces them. We must keep this in our minds as we work this week. And we also need to keep in mind that the world faces a continuing food crisis. The FAO Food Price Index in March of 2010 increased by 22% from a year ago. In some Asian markets, rice and wheat prices are 20 to 70% above 2008 levels. Scraping to afford the next meal is still a grim daily reality in the developing world, even though the global food crisis that dominated headlines in 2008 quickly faded in many rich countries. Families all over the world are being battered by surging food prices that are dragging more people into poverty, fueling political tension, and threatening to worsen malnutrition. Indeed, the FAO said that the double blow of the global recession and high food prices has pushed 100 million people into poverty. Codex standards can help. Codex standards can ensure fair trade. They can ease trade through harmonization and can therefore help the poorest countries enter world trade markets with the only commodity that they typically have to trade, food. In this sense, Codex can play an important role in helping to bring greater stability and security to the world. How can there be a greater goal or a higher purpose for what we do? There will be times during this week when the solutions seem impossible to find, when problems seem insurmountable. But it's at moments like this I like to remember what Mother Teresa, a woman who knew the meaning of overwhelming, said when she was asked, "Mother, what can we do? The problems are so great." Mother Teresa responded, "Just do the thing that's in front of you. Just do the thing that is in front of you." So, let's start with what's in front of us. Will you join me? Thank you. Thank you, delegates. Thank you to our speakers from the FAO and WHO who have reminded us of the important work that we have and urge us to do our very best to come to agreement and to carry the good work of this organization forward. At this moment, we will take a short break, excuse our distinguished guests, and rearrange the top table. So, pardon us, 5 minutes, no more, and then we'll get back to you and officially start our work. Thank you, delegates. Please take your seats. Please return to your delegations. We are ready to begin. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will officially begin the works part of our session, and I will first ask the Secretariat to make some housekeeping announcements, including information on the evening reception and CRDs and so forth. Madam Secretary.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The working hours, today we started at 10. It will be until 1 o'clock, with then 2 hours for lunch break. So it will be from 3 o'clock to 6 p.m., and that will be immediately followed by the official reception from FAO and WHO, which will take place in the restaurant here in the conference center. So that will be at 6 o'clock. On the following days, we will start at 9:30 for a three-hour session in the morning until 12:30, and in the afternoon, 2:30 until 5:30. And then, as was mentioned in the agenda, there is a possibility that there will be a need for night sessions, but it's a possibility. And in that case, it would be from 6 p.m. until the limit being 9 p.m. And that would be the same timetable of sessions as you have in the document on arrangements for the session, which was distributed. That's also from 9:30 to 12:30, 2 hours break, 2:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon, and if necessary, evening session from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. On Thursday, there will be no session. This is the day when we finalize the report, and also there are a number of side events. All the side events organized by FAO and WHO are in INF number 8. There are a number of other meetings, such as regional meetings, and the room availability, if any groups of delegates may need another room, that's available at the document desk. There is a complete list of all the, not only FAO-WHO side events, but regional meetings, etc. As regards practical arrangements here in the conference center, there is a cafeteria for lunchtime, and then the bar is opened until working hours, and especially on Tuesday and Wednesday it will be open later due to the possibility of evening sessions, so it will be until 9 p.m. There is a nurse in the Espas Telecom on level -1. There is an internet cafe in level 0, and there are several computers there. Also, as regards Wi-Fi, it's also available on all the levels, and the password is all in capitals, FAO1 Codex, all in capital. Now, we would like to inform that there are a number of CRDs which were distributed and available to, at the document desk. And if any country, as we would like to keep documentation well ordered, and we would like to have, if any, there is any late conference room document, if any country would like to propose additional documents or comments, they should do it. The deadline for that is lunchtime today, so that should be done this morning. And then, Madam Chair, you had already mentioned about the time clock and time management. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. One further announcement from the Secretariat, please, Madam Secretary.
Thank you very much. This is an announcement on behalf of FAO. We would like to inform the Commission that FAO staff is available in the document display area to answer any question about the new international portal for food safety and animal and plant health from FAO, and that will be in the display area, and there will be one of our colleagues there on Monday afternoon and on Tuesday afternoon, and all the information on the portal is on information document number 9. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before moving to the first agenda item, I would like to make a short announcement, as I do every year. The European Union is participating in this meeting in accordance with paragraph 9 of Article 2 of the FAO Constitution and Rule 2 of the Rules of Procedure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I've been asked to inform you that the declaration made by the European Union and its member states is contained in document CRD1. Please note this declaration. European Union, please.
Merci, Madame la Présidente.
Thank you, Madam. I'd like to begin by thanking you for having made available to the document CRD1, which describes the distribution of competence between the Commission and the Member States. Let me give you some explanation, if I may. In Article 2, Paragraph 5 of the Rules of Procedure of the Codex Alimentarius Commission asks Member States to indicate in writing before each meeting those members who have specific competence for each of the agenda items. It's available, CRD1 is available in three languages and contains this information. According to the relevant paragraph, when the European Union speaks on a particular matter for which they have the right to vote, the position that is set out corresponds to the position of the 26 delegations representing the member states present at the meeting. When a common position does not exist on a point for which they have the right to vote, the position will be explained by the delegation of Belgium, who is the presiding member during these 6 months. And we are available to answer any questions that any other delegations might like to put to us on the subject. Thank you.